Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. It feels like it's been a while, doesn't it?
It does. It's like I've had a couple of weeks off when you went to 4x4 Tyres.
Yeah, that was a little while ago now. And since then, I've been to see Richard Hall at Norfolk Garage.
So that was 3 weeks off for me.
Trevor was on.
Yes.
So yeah, it's kind of weird. It feels odd being back, just you and I.
I felt redundant.
On the cast.
Redundant from the podcast.
Well, you need to learn how to edit them, then you won't be.
Oh.
But no, it's been a busy old time, hasn't it? We've been up to a fair bit since we last sat here on the salmon sofa and chatted nonsense.
Yeah, we're back on the actual sofa. The salmon sofa is back.
And it's
Never looked dustier since being at Billing. Well, half of it is dusty. The other half
looks
clean.
I mean, yeah, we took on a bit of dust there, didn't we? But yeah, where have I been? What have I been doing? My life's been a blur, I tell you. It's been a busy old time.
The last few weeks has been an absolute blur, and it's really nice to actually get back in here doing weekly podcasts.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And we can catch up, because I don't know when this goes out in relation to when we're recording it. That's how out of kilter I am.
Yeah. They just merge into one. But yes. Goodwood. I went to Goodwood Festival of Speed for the first time ever.
You did.
What?
Wasn't jealous.
No, you didn't mention that you wish you were going at all. It was an amazing event. I've never been, like
superb.
I said.
I've only ever been once.
Lots of Land Rovers there.
Yeah, and they unveiled a new logo, didn't they?
Well, sort of.
Range Rover's logo, which has been
the latest thing for everyone to get really upset about on the internet is Range Rover's new logo, which isn't actually the logo they're putting on new Range Rovers. It's the logo they're using on like their clothing, merchandise, and events. So,
I kind of worked that out, but some people on the internet
there's been toys flying out of prams across the world over this logo.
It seems that JLR can't do anything, can they, at the minute, without being kind of like ganged up on, perhaps?
Yeah, everyone's got their own opinion, but I think just chill out a bit. It's okay. Yeah. It's the heritage isn't going anywhere. Everything's fine. Just
we're not going anywhere.
No, exactly.
So yeah, all good.
I was lucky enough to be invited by JLR to Goodwood. And before the day of walking around Goodwood, we went and had a look around the new Defender trophy. Obviously, that's a big event they're running off the back of the launch of the car. Real sort of camel trophy inspired competition. Obviously, very different to what it would have been back then, because you can't really go hacking virgin trails through rainforests now.
I don't see why not myself.
That was
a joke for all the environmentalists out there. Definitely a joke.
Generally, yeah, frowned upon. But the event looks great. The car looks great. It's got quite a lot of cool, unique features on it. Obviously, the colour. You can get the Deep Sanglo yellow or Keswick Green. A classic sort of heritagey colour. I like the yellow personally.
I think it's, for me, that's one I would go for.
Lots of adventure inspired accessories on it. Lots of black bits. It's a really nice thing, and I do think the car will do really well. Obviously, the big bone of contention is that on releasing the details for this worldwide event, which is going to be, as I say, taking inspiration from Camel Trophy, a lot of physical challenges, a lot of strategy, a lot of driving, of course, off-roading. You can't enter if you're from the UK.
Yes, I had heard this. In fact, the first thing I heard about the event was actually that part.
Yeah.
So people often like to focus on the negative.
They do. And it's
So your application is still pending, yeah?
Basically, you will in the future be able to enter if you're from the UK, but not yet. Because the boys and girls at JLR's what's the word I'm looking for? The brand sort of development guys are flat out with a lot of other stuff, so they've decided to give this round a miss. But in future you will be able to enter the trophy if you are from the UK.
Ah, so it wasn't deliberate thing, it's just that the team organising it from the UK are busy with other projects.
Basically, yeah.
So nothing against
They haven't like ruled British it out people. Because of no.
Nothing quite so serious as
no, it's literally...
Yeah, that's what I'd heard, you see. Everyone was like, oh, you can't enter it because...
No.
You know, for all those people, for all those people that were about to enter it now can't.
But, it's not, it's know. No, it's nothing sinister or malicious. They have just got, there's a lot on. As you yeah. will have seen, Defender, Oasis, obviously a hot topic at the moment. Oasis are back together and touring. Defender is sponsoring that.
Of course.
Yeah. Branding everywhere, big billboards, and yeah, all quite exciting. But the small, because we got sort of involved in doing a small like taster of it, of the sort of challenges and things like that that you know, the participants can expect on the actual event, like rigging up a winch rope to pull a sort of cargo crate across a deep like ravine and yeah, some and bridge building stuff like that. It was really, really cool. That was an off-road site slash like quarry area, not that far from Goodwood.
Oh, you went and had a go, did you?
Yeah, we had.
We haven't even caught up, have we?
This is
the
it.
Podcast. This been... is the first time we've sat down.
Yeah. So trophy, yeah. That again, off-road driving. It's always going to contain that because it's such a big part of Land Rover. Still,
yeah,
they're still
yeah.
making the best off-road capable 4x4s in the world. And they're obviously keen to showcase that in the new trophy event. But we also got Okta. We had another blast round in Okta, which was very good.
You had a really rubbish day, didn't you?
Oh, it was a hardship, I tell you.
The coffee and croissants and all of that?
There was... Yeah. Well, it was a hot day, you see, so we were on the fancy fizzy drinks out of a little fridge.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. They've launched a new colour on the Okta. Which you might have seen if you follow me on social media.
Don't talk to me about colour at the minute.
Oh, yeah, we've got colour updates.
We'll get that on in a minute.
This new colour is like a super deep... I don't know how to describe it. It's not just a blue. It's like blue, but there's a bit of green in it. I'm trying desperately to tell you what the colour is. It's a Sargasso blue, it's called.
Blue and green. So,
well, no, it's primarily blue, but it's got like a tingy, like a little tinge of green.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Almost like a sea blue.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning. So that was new for...
I did see your walk around, actually, on the...
Yeah, I did a couple of videos.
Social media.
On the Instagram.
Yeah.
And then, of course, yeah, so once that was over and done with, that was on Thursday, we went and did, again, we got into... the main event on Friday, Festival of Speed. Thanks again, obviously, to JLR. It was really, really nice of them to put me up and let me wander around taking pictures of Land Rovers, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah, loads of Land Rovers there. Britpart were there with their newly finished Discovery.
Yeah, because that's obviously in the tech section of the mag, isn't it?
Yes, we're covering the build in the magazine. Very, very cool.
To go alongside their Goodwood 90 that we've already featured, which... I'm taking a fair bit of inspiration from, I won't lie.
I think it's very indicative of the sort of style quite a lot of people are going down now.
Definitely. That style is timeless.
It is.
It's timeless.
It absolutely is.
It's been cool for 30, 40 years.
Yeah. It's sort of like a NAS style, soft top, chunky roll cage, nice interior. You can't really go wrong, can you?
No. Funnily enough, we get onto that chunky roll cage thing. So I totted up the other day. So I've got a bit of update on my project.
Yes, indeed.
I need deeper pockets.
You've got deep pockets, you've just got short arms.
Well, I've actually got long arms, so for pockets must be really, really deep. Really, you can spend some money on Land Rovers, can't you?
Yeah.
When you want that look, so you go for a proper roll cage stroke hoop.
Yeah, safety devices,
bulkhead removal bar, because if your rear tub doesn't have a bulkhead in, the actual mohair type tilt on the top of that.
Yeah, with the zips and the channels rather than all the ropes.
You could do some serious money, yeah. So, the Britpart one, to be inspired by that is great, but you do need deep pockets.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah.
You think you put together the elements of it in your head and you think, okay, chassis, yeah, bulkhead. Obviously, you can use your engine, you can use your axles. But then, like you said, it's things like paint, like the cage. You want to put a nice set of seats in it, not just front seats probably. You probably want seats in the back. What are you putting a stereo in it?
Yeah.
It's
it gets serious very quickly.
Yeah.
One thing I have learned though is we're getting onto my project here, but
that's okay.
Rear tub update. So the tub is now back, which I might have mentioned last time with Trevor.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
But the tub is back, and yeah, that's now ready for paint. But the bulkhead is back from paint.
Yes.
And it came back yesterday. And yeah, the colour is a burgundy colour, which actually dates from late 60s, early 70s, Porsche 911.
You've done a hashtag colour reveal, just now.
Hashtag colour reveal. And by the time you've got this, it'll be on my Instagram. And I don't know if I like it.
When you pulled up earlier,
the bulkhead is in the back of an estate car right now.
I knew it was inside, and I was expecting you to be like doing backflips around the car park to show me, and you were like, "Oh, I don't know."
Yeah. What I did was I bought a can. Had the paint shop make an aerosol of it, just spray on a bit of a panel, and I liked it. But when you see it on a whole bulkhead, professionally painted, nonetheless,
yeah,
you just think, "Oh, I don't know. It looks a bit brown." It looks 70s. You know, in the 70s, everything was brown, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't about.
Yeah, no, you weren't. But everything was beige or brown. It's got a real brown. Even the painter said, "Oh," he said, "it's quite an old colour." I went, "Well, yeah, I suppose it is old." He said, "I don't see burgundy. I see brown." I'm like, "Oh no."
I think, well, like I said to you earlier, you've only seen it in isolation. You've only seen quite a big panel painted in it. And you haven't seen it against any black parts, any, you know, seals,
galvanized,
you know, gal fits.
Yeah.
So
I need to, well, we're going to go home later. You're going to come follow me home, aren't you? And you're going to help me lift it onto the bulkhead. The bulkhead onto the chassis, sorry. Purely because my wife yesterday didn't want to get involved. It's not
understandable.
Yeah. Can you imagine the stress of putting a freshly painted? Well, we don't need to imagine. You're going to experience it in about 3 hours.
You won't have to worry anyway, because when you decide you don't want that colour, it will get repainted.
I know. But call this a practice run. Can we get a freshly painted bulkhead onto a chassis without scratching it? But I think tonight, if we can, we'll just try fit the tub on as well.
Yeah.
To kind of get a feel for where we're at.
Yeah.
It's scary painting a Land Rover because I'm £552 in.
And all that's painted is the bulkhead.
Yes, but I own the paint for the rest of the car now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's a £552 mistake.
So if anyone wants to buy 5 litres of Porsche Burgundy.
4.5 litres. That's what's
there. 4.5 litres.
I don't know. No. Let's wait.
I think you, honestly.
By the time this is out, though, to be fair, I'll have decided.
I'm only winding you up. I do believe when it's got the right stuff, when it's got the rest of the bits around it, when it's got some stuff mounted to it, once the, like you say, the cappings are against it.
I think, I'm hoping.
It needs other colours to contrast against.
Yeah. It might be an absolute stroke of genius. And people go, "Wow, I can't believe you've done it, but it's worked out." Or, "Why did you paint it brown?"
Yeah. It's weird because for a black colour,
for a black colour,
it really changes colour a lot in different lights, doesn't it?
It really does. It's not a flip paint at all, but as soon as that light changes, as soon as you've got light on it, it looks brown.
Mm.
But in the workshop, when the bulkhead was on its stand where it had been painted, it was the perfect colour. I was like, "Oh, yeah, got it out on the lights." I was like, "Ooh."
Yeah.
So it's
I'll jump the gun. I think it will look good.
Well, we'll find out later.
Another update from me. The Wedding Series 2 performed its duties on Sunday.
I saw that again on Instagram.
Yes. Brilliant. The 1958, very early Series 2 that I've been helping to revive. My good friends Michael and Rachel wanted it for their wedding. It's Rachel's granddad's. He's had it from new, and it had been sat in a barn for 23 or 25 years. And she dragged it back to their house, and I've been going over at weekends trying to breathe life back into it. And breathe life back into it, we did.
It didn't have to drive far, did it?
No, so...
For the wedding?
It was basically all on a private estate, like a big, nice big house and, you know, a bit of a private ground. But it basically had to run reliably, stop and steer safely, which is what we achieved. It still does need a lot more work before it goes on the road properly, like the bulkhead needs repairs and things like that. But for what they hoped to get out of it for the day, it performed admirably. I cannot believe how smooth and quiet that 2.25 petrol is.
That's because you own a 2.5 natural aspirated diesel.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably is. I've been driving the 110 around. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, you said something interesting the other day that you prefer driving it to your Series 3.
I do.
Yeah. That's because coils are so, like...
I can see, yeah, this is...
The suspension setup is so much better.
I hadn't really appreciated back-to-back from a Series to a Defender quite what a leap. When the 110 came out in 1983, what an enormous gap, what a jump there was between Series 3 utilities, leaf-sprung Land Rovers, and what we now know as obviously like Defender, if you to put it in inverted marks. What, like, they are night and day. If you,
we were quite lucky to be able to jump in from one to another.
Yeah, but it's something I'd never really done before. It was quite odd. But even like with the, like you say, 2.5 non-turbo diesel, which isn't a powerhouse, the steering, because you're not dealing with how many ball joints, if you've got 6 ball joints in a series steering setup.
Of course.
Which can all have play and they
all multiply, I suppose, don't they?
The steering box is like a totally different design. You've got a relay that gets slop in it. Whereas a Defender, you've got a column, a box, and yeah, you've still got a lot of rods, but there's so much, there's so fewer points for it to become worn or stiff. It's just, yeah, like, I can see why people who owned Land Rovers knew back then were jumping up and down for Land Rover to bring out a coil sprung utility. Because if you think about how long the Range Rover had been out for, which was launched in 1970 on coil springs.
Because that's about 13 years.
13 years.
12 to 13 years. Yeah,
before they...
That's quite a long time in this day and age, isn't it?
But, ages.
Yeah, it's huge.
And you consider, yeah, again, like I said, what an enormous... It feels like an enormous leap forward in comfort because it is, and precision. Like, you can drive the 110 and not really think about it, whereas you do find yourself correcting a lot in the Series 3. I know I've got bigger tyres on it and stuff like that, but...
Well, they won't help.
No, no, this is it. That, which is another point, actually, I was going to bring up was... I know you ripped me about the engine in the 110, but it's been so nice going to... driving that around, because it does feel like you're stepping back in time and driving something as it would have been new, because nothing's modified on it.
Of course. It's as good as it's going to get.
And actually, this Neil Watterson's a big sort of advocate for this. He always says, like, modifications are great, but you've got to think them through because they always have an adverse reaction. And I can totally see where he's coming from. Because when you drive... Look, the 110's far from perfect, don't get me wrong. But when you drive a Land Rover in decent standard condition, you're like, yeah, Land Rover kind of knew what they were doing.
The best Land Rovers I've ever driven have all been standard.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And it's like, why is this so good? Because it's standard. Yeah.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I love to mess around with stuff and improve.
Oh, yeah. Improve for what the purpose, though?
Yeah, we've all been guilty, obviously, when we were younger of, you know, doing things. I like Land Rovers that look cool. I think the Series 3's got a great stance, but you do pay for that with the way it drives, unfortunately. Like, even with the suspension slightly raised up, parabolics give that little bit of extra lift on top. The ride is nice, but you feel the height.
Of course.
It's interesting. We've been doing a bit of hashtag influencing.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
Our good friend Greg King, LRM contributor to the Stars.
Oh, yes.
Is now driving his 90 around on general super all grips, the same as I've got on the 110. Correct tyre. And he also commented and said that they took hardly any weight to balance up, which is quite rare for a mud terrain. So they are really, really good tyres.
There you go. I wonder who else will have them fitted.
If you do want any, head to 4x4tyres.co.uk. They will sort you out. Yeah, no, I'm really impressed with mine. I want to get out and do some lanes in the 110 now.
That'd be interesting. Having watched your Freelander 2 do some laning recently up in Yorkshire. That's going to be in the mag, won't it?
Yes, in the next issue.
In the next issue.
In the next issue. Which, actually, while we're on the subject, there is a new issue out. It's actually been out for a week already, but, you know, we're a bit behind the time. We'd already recorded one with Trevor, so... We'll do a quick shout out on that. We'll do feature of the week. Nice and early on, shall we?
Go for it.
The cover feature is quite a different feature, actually. It's a sort of back-to-back on a Discovery 2 and a Defender 110, which have both been done up in a similar way. They've both been done up for off-grid camping, for a bit of expedition use in horizons a bit further away from the UK. And yeah, it's kind of like a bit of a, not a direct comparison, but it shows you how each model lends itself differently to, you know, different aspects of camping, overlanding, adventure, call it what you will. The guy Craig's done a really nice job of decking these two out.
Does he own them both?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Which is kind why when he got in touch, I was kind of interested in the story, because I thought, you know, everyone's got their own personal way of doing Land Rovers up. But I thought if he's got the same mindset and he's applied it across both, then it's an even better sort of comparison. It's a Disco 2 pre-facelift with all the kit on it. Lovely little sort of wooden storage area in the back. Lots of canvas bits and pieces everywhere to keep all your adventure bits in. And then a 110, a late 110. It's a 15 plate. Again, kind of the same principle applies over any 110, really. It doesn't really matter what it's got under the bonnet. But, really sort of insightful look into how he's, chosen different modifications and executed the same thing in different ways, which is, and also I guess really it brings into focus budget, because you can still get a Discovery 2 for kind of reasonable, you know,
well you can,
4 or 5 for a one that isn't completely hanging.
Three times the price for the 110,
and it's a 15 as well, so it's a real late
3 to 4 times price.
So check that out. Shall I segue seamlessly into product of the week while we're at it?
We haven't had one of these for so long.
I've almost forgotten how to do it.
Yeah, I can tell by your organisation.
Do you mind?
Or lack of organisation.
No, I'm...
Have the product of the week teed up right now, do you?
This product is actually one that starred. We mentioned it on the post-billing podcast.
Wow, that seems like ages ago.
Because it made crazy money in the auction at billing. It is a fire pit from Exmoor Trim.
Did you
see this go? It made like £1,000.
Yeah, we did mention it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Madness.
Worry not, though, because you don't have to pay £1,000 for this fire pit. You can go direct to Exmoor Trim and pay £358.80 for one. It's a really cool thing. See it? See it?
Oh, yeah. So I was I got distracted by the other project.
Oh, read the blurb.
Yeah, go on then.
This easy-to-assemble fire pit packs down flat for carrying and slots together for use. Cut from high-quality steel, with the end pieces having the distinctive look of a classic Defender. I can confirm they do. It includes a grill so you can cook on it, and you can get it in 2 sizes. So if you, that sounds a bit of you, there's still plenty of summer left for outdoor barbecuing and cooking. Head to exmoortrim.co.uk.
Anyway, I think sitting around that in the winter would be even better.
Yeah, it might be, actually. It's a good point.
All year round outdoor cooking.
Yeah, I could get on board with that. Do you know what I did, actually, overnight? Because I stayed with JLR when I was at Goodwood, not to rub it in.
Right. Oh, yeah. Whilst I was still here, manning the fort.
Had a lovely bit of food. And then after that, we all stood outside chatting, because there's obviously other, like...
Were you in a teepee? Like the teepee?
Yeah, like a posh glamping, it was.
Yeah, glamping pods. Yeah.
I've never done that before, either. It was amazing. I had a proper bed in it.
Your own glamping pod? Your own individual?
Yeah, it was like a teepee type thing. Yeah. With a proper bed in it and a fan, because it was warm.
Oh, very nice.
I got Defender flip-flops, which I'm very happy about. Defender-branded flip-flops. I had toasted marshmallow. They had, like, fire pits outside and had a few marshmallows. I hadn't toasted a marshmallow since I was about 12.
Oh, awesome.
What a treat.
Yeah.
You could get on board with that with your Exmoor Trim fire pit.
You could.
There you go. Right, we've got a stack of correspondence to get through, so would you like to kick off?
Shall we just pick one at random rather than when they arrive?
It's like a lottery.
Yeah. So this one is from Rich Freeland. Hi, guys. I bloody love the show. Been wanting something like this to listen to for years.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, Rich. I seem to recall on a podcast you mentioned preventative servicing or upgrading parts that can help with the Discovery 4 crankshaft issue.
Yes, okay. I do remember that.
I was wondering if you could remind me what episode that was, or tell me what the upgrade is. Also, side note, I have a Series 3 109 on a galvanised chassis with a 3.5-litre Raver V8, which is from what I gather very similar to the Martins.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, another side note, I've just bought a 1992 Range Rover Classic with the original 2.5 VM diesel, which is just ticks over 250,000 miles. Would love it if you guys can talk a little bit about the engine on a pod, as I've not heard much about these engines before. Well, there you go. There's a couple of things in there for you.
Yeah.
What was the crankshaft issue? Well, we know what a crankshaft issue is.
So I've since been in touch with Rich. I emailed him back. And he actually, what he meant was the billet camshaft pulleys that design development engineering do. So it wasn't so much the crankshaft. It was the uprated, because they have a lot of problems as well with the cam pulleys shearing off, which puts the timing out and then the engine sounds terrible. But you can get uprated ones from design development engineering. So that's what he was getting at.
I see. I thought you'd invented some like magic repair for the crankshafts.
Unfortunately.
That may or may not snap.
I don't deal in miracles, Steve.
Okay. Yeah. I was getting excited. I was thinking, wow, have you found something that can fix it?
I can guarantee if I came up with that solution, I wouldn't be sat here. I'd be marketing it.
I get you. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, VM diesels.
Yes.
Italian engine, I believe.
Indeed, yes.
You don't see many.
You certainly don't see many that have done 250,000 miles, because they normally expire long before that.
I've never, ever driven a VM dieseled Range Rover before.
I haven't either. I've seen a lot of them about. Okay. I almost bought one that was half in a hedge once. Another saw it on Facebook and went and had a look. But unfortunately, the body was more rust than metal, as they often are. But they are an odd little engine. They've got individual cylinder heads. I'm not sure if they were originally designed as a marine application. I've got that.
Sounds like it.
I think it was. And then, obviously, all the Japanese brands were doing diesel engines.
Like a Lister twin pot, you know, little tiny cylinder heads in on each.
Yeah, well, like
a boat engine.
I think they were, honestly. I think they were originally. What do I know about the VM? I know it wasn't particularly well received. And in fact, another shout out for Greg King. He's got a great YouTube channel called My Primer Grey 90, because his 90 is Pennine Grey, but Primer Grey, whatever. He's been uploading a load of old marketing and like reviews.
Oh, yes. Yeah, cracking videos.
Really, really good for a Sunday sit down with a coffee and watch them. One of them is the sort of legendary review of Top Gear reviewing the VM diesel Range Rover.
All that did was highlight how slow they are.
But there was a fault with that car. That's what a lot of people don't realise. Because he was literally, he pulled off in first gear, put his foot flat to the floor, went to second up like a mild hill, and it wouldn't even pull second. And he was like, this is awful. But actually, when Land Rover got that car back, they found it had an issue. And I can't remember what it was, but it was like, it had no power because it was broken. It
probably didn't do the brand particularly good on that film.
No.
Because Top Gear was probably less influential than it is or was in the latter years, isn't it? In terms of like, well, people used to watch it for motoring advice back then.
Yeah, it was a proper consumer program, wasn't it? It wasn't like watch three blokes set a caravan on fire. It was like,
I don't know which is better.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it throughout, really, until the Hammond, James and Clarkson era was over, and then I didn't really watch it after that.
No, I did try and watch Top Gear after that. What's the name of the guy from Friends? I didn't like that era.
Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, that wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't good.
I just... it sounds awful, but I'd kind of just always got something better to do with a Sunday night after
that. Yeah, yeah. Chris Harris... was good.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Proper car.
Knows his stuff.
Yeah, he was really good.
But no, I kind of lost track with what they were doing. I've watched a few Grand Tours, but I haven't really
lost
that either.
Sort
of, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Anyway, we're not talking about that.
Yeah,
what's your experience with the VM? Have you got any anecdotes to share?
Never, ever, ever had anything to do with them. I've got no knowledge. I don't even think I've seen one.
I think they're quite thin on the ground now. So what I would say is, if you've got that car, and it, regardless of the mileage, I would try and keep the original engine in it, because there's probably not that many left. A lot of them obviously got updated with TDIs.
Yeah, see, I've driven a classic Range Rover 300 TDI in it before.
What did you think?
It was our old publisher bought it.
It's
a kind of magazine project vehicle. And it sat there and sat there and sat there. One day... In fact, I could tell you a funny story about that car. one day he decided to get it back on the road, and it sat in our yard outside the office for like 2 years or something. Anyway, got an MOT on it, but the battery kept going flat. So we drove it. We caused an accident.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But we didn't really cause an accident. We broke down in a really precarious place near Wellingborough on the A507 on the main road on this hill, and the car's coming the other way. And they were sort of like more concentrating on us, looking across to see what was going on.
Right.
Because we were out of the car.
Okay.
But they then drove into the back of the other car.
Oh, so it wasn't your fault.
It wasn't our fault.
Just them being ignorant.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, no. And we had to roll all the way down the hill to get it to safety.
Oh.
But anyway, 300 TDI Range Rover Classic. I quite liked it.
My opinion of them has always been, if you're going to buy one to use as a daily, I get it. But in my humble opinion, a Range Rover deserves a petrol engine.
Yeah, you want to waft along in a Range Rover. You don't mind a diesel working hard in a Discovery.
Especially back then.
It did kind of belong in it. It kind of ruined
the
what that car was.
Yeah.
But it was an all right thing. I drove it all the way to the other side of Oxford once.
Okay.
To where the magazine used to get printed. And we went there in that. And I drove it there and back. It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liked it.
Do love a classic.
But yeah, that's one. You can read the next
one. Shall I go for the
next one? Yeah, go on. This is like a lottery.
It is, isn't it? We've got like lucky dip of listeners. Yeah. Okay. This one is from Harrison Doughty. He says, my name's Harrison. I'm seeking some advice for my next Land Rover purchase. Well, you've come to the right place, probably. We're looking for our next family Land Rover, predominantly being driven by my partner, who will be driving the children to where they need to be, taking the Labradors for walks, and it needs to have a tow bar for our caravan when we go on holiday. A bit of background of where my love of Land Rover started. My father had lots of Land Rovers over the years, from a couple of Series 1 86 inches to his current Disco 5. Oh, yeah, that's brand loyalty, that is.
It is.
I myself have had a few as well, including a 2001 Disco 2 TD5 manual, a 1996 P38 4-litre manual, pretty rare beast, and a 2005 Disco 3 TDV6, which I still own and have help from my dad to change out the engine on the driveway through the bonnet when it decided to burn its own oil from a hole in one of the heads. Fair enough. Good on you for changing it without lifting the body. I bet that was fiddly. Between us, we're pretty mechanically minded and not scared to get our hands dirty. We're working with a budget of £6,000, and the question I keep finding myself coming back to is, the only two Land Rovers we have, we've agreed on, slash we like, are an early Discovery 4 and a mid-life Range Rover L322. Neither of which we've owned before. I'd love to hear your opinions on the matter and finally come to a decision. Both my dad and I love to listen to the podcast. Thanks for continuing to inspire us and the wider Land Rover community. Well, it's lovely of you to say so, Harrison. We do what we can.
£6,000, man. That's... I do you know what? I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if £6,000 will buy either of those cars. I'd go to L322.
L322 all day long.
And that's coming from me. I don't think at Discovery 4 you'll be changing that engine very soon.
I think I've obviously keep an eye on things. Discovery 4s are getting into that price range.
They are.
Would I buy one? No.
I can't. I couldn't do it.
Get yourself a 3.6 Range Rover TDV8. You'd probably be avoiding the sort of cult. You won't get a Tonga green one, a nice one for that sort of money, but get like any other colour, really.
Silver.
Try and get one with a receipt in the glove box for the turbos being done, because that's the only thing really that will sting you. Watch out for rust. Open the back doors. Get a torch in. Make sure the back of the sills are still there. I don't think you can go wrong with one.
That's what I would look at. And I've never thought I'd give consumer advice of an L322.
Yeah.
But if my choice was between those two, yeah.
If I guess Harrison wants something different, because otherwise, I mean, he's got the experience. Would you not look for a second Disco 3? Service it, do the oil pump. That would probably serve you quite well.
You probably could get a really nice one for £6,000 now.
Yeah.
Or you would.
To be honest, though, if it was my money, I'd go L322. I would. I don't think I'd... Again, I love Disco 4s. I think they're an absolutely fantastic Land Rover. But I just... If I had...
But the Range Rover would put you in a complete different comfort spectrum, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Discovery 4s are fantastic, but the L322 was screwed together flipping well. When you got in one, you were like, yeah, this is good. I would go for that.
Yeah, me too.
He didn't specify if you wanted diesel or petrol, but honestly, the 3.6 TDV8 will give you fewer trouble than the potentially crank snappy Disco 4, and everything else is fairly doable on them now. It's all fairly well documented. Parts have got a lot cheaper. You don't have to buy genuine everything now. You can get decent quality OEM equivalent. I'd go L322.
There you go.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Do you want to read the next one or shall I carry on?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the next one.
Are you?
Yes, because the next one on the pile after that is very long.
Okay, thanks. Come on in, let's have it.
Matt Holliday has got in touch. Hello, Stephen Martin. Listener here from the very beginning. Thanks, Matt. The podcast is a highlight of my commuting week. I'm planning on taking a trip to Morocco at the end of the year with my L663. We're going to go up into the Atlas Mountains, and having spoken to a few people who have done it before, we're expecting to have to change a few tyres. Okay. Until now, I've got by with a JLR issue jack, but it's not great when you're away from tarmac or a flat surface. What sort and size of jack would you recommend? The high lifts I see around look absolutely lethal in the hands of a novice.
Yes. I wouldn't go for a traditional high lift like a steel farm jack. I don't think that would suit your application very well with an L663, a new shaped defender. I don't know if you've got standard bumpers on it. I don't know if you've got uprated bumpers. I don't know if you've got rock sliders on it, anything like that. You might have if you're going like doing trips with it. I would look at the new hydraulic version of the high lift, which is sold by ARB and Terra Firma. You've seen them, haven't you?
No.
Yeah, Eddie showed us them. Sure you have. Anyway, it's essentially performs the same duty as your traditional old steel high lift jack, but it's hydraulically controlled instead, so you've got no dodgy ratcheting mechanism that can get full of sand and bind up. And
okay, I have no recollection of this.
Maybe I was thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd look at that. Look at the hydraulic version of that, which has also got a really cool ball joint on the bottom, so the base can sit at like any angle, but the jack will still be straight up. Also, I quite like the inflatable, like exhaust jacks. Have you seen them? The big like balloons. If you're on soft sand.
Yeah.
They're a great idea. There's just like a bag that goes under the sill and then you inflate it with exhaust gas and it, yeah, pumps up and then you let it down. There's a valve in it you pull out and it lets the car down when you're finished.
Well, the other thing I've noticed from this is we're expecting to have to change a few tyres.
Mm.
Well, the L663 comes with one spare tyre, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whereas
if you're going away and you do have a tyre off the rim. I presume this is if you're going to air down, is it?
Probably, but you're out in the desert. I think regardless of, if we were to say swap your tyres for something else, nothing is, invincible against sharp rocks and things like that, is it? That's the thing. I would fit a decent all-terrain if you haven't already, but that's still not going to, if you put something through the sidewall, it could happen on any tyre, couldn't it?
Yeah, really tricky to know. And then you've got to carry the tyre, a second spare tyre as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So I'm wondering if he's got a roof rack or if he's stored it inside. I don't know. Maybe they're not going. I don't know. Maybe they've got garages, outlets out there that are, stocking what they need. I'm not sure. He hasn't gone into too much detail about the the trip itself. But jack-wise, personally, I'd look at the hydraulic, the ARB or Terra Firma hydraulic jacks, which are perfect for using on rock sliders, things like that, and recovery points, or an exhaust jack. In fact, what I would do is probably drop your, because we're sat here going off your email, I would drop whoever you're going with or like a tour operator that runs tours in that area and ask them what they recommend, because they will know the situation far better than we do.
Tell you who we need to speak to.
Who's that?
Our mate, Russ Dykes.
Yeah, he would be a really good...
He's probably the biggest tour operator leaving the UK, isn't he? For trips to Morocco and...
Yeah, he would be definitely on authority to talk on that.
So actually, we could probably say to get in touch with Russ, it's our adventures.
Yes.
So check him out on Facebook, send him a message. He probably will answer your queries if you say you've heard it on the LRM podcast.
He'll probably be a bit grumpy, but he's always...
Yeah, he's from Yorkshire and he calls himself the Grumpy Yorkshireman.
Yeah. He lives up to his name.
Yeah, and I hope he's listening to this.
Hi, Ross.
I expect my phone to be going anytime soon.
Love you, really.
Yeah. It's just, oh, you've missed a long one.
No, it's going to be strategic.
The long one is very long.
My throat is hurting. I might have to skim this a little bit. Right.
Yes.
Ah, yes, 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 yes. Darren Letts gets in touch. He says, good morning, gents. We've just been listening to your podcast. I'm a first-time listener. Welcome along, Darren. And I wanted to share my story on how relationships and Land Rovers seem to intertwine. And we've touched on this before, haven't we?
Relationships with people or relationships with Land Rovers?
Well, both in this case.
Okay.
In this case, it's actually me.
Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry, yeah, I get you.
So he goes on to say, my wife had a Defender 90 many years ago, long before we met, about 20 years ago. And in that 20 years, I'd heard about this old 90 on numerous occasions.
Well, she's a keeper, straight there.
Well, he goes on to say, not something I had much interest in.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't ever driven one. I had no desire to or own one. Fast forward to January 2023, and my wife started to volunteer at local equine therapy stables, which meant her current car at the time, which was a very nice mini John Cooper Works convertible, was getting covered in mud. I suggested that maybe a better car for her would now be something like a Land Rover, and she jumped at the chance. The Mini was sold and the hunt was on for another Defender 90. I had to do quite a bit of research, and as I knew practically nothing about them, but I soon came to the conclusion that a recently rebuilt TD5 would be the best bet. I eventually found one that ticked all the boxes, 2002 hardtop in her favourite colour combination of red and black. The deal was done, having paid a lot more than I'd originally budgeted. And I absolutely hated it.
Good man. At least he's honest.
I'm a sports car man, and particularly Japanese stuff. At the time, I had an excellent example of a 90s MR2, so a Mark 1 MR2, which was... Oh, no, it was a Mark 2, actually. He sent me pictures. Which was older than the Defenders, but felt 30 years newer. Well, that's because...
Yeah, yeah.
It's a car and not a tractor with a body shell. So to the start of my Land Rover experience, it was just problem after problem. My opinion was only getting worse. Despite a full rebuild, a lot of things were still going wrong. Luckily, I'd found a local expert who I had to call on repeatedly to get the problems sorted out. He assured me it'd be well worth it because the Defender we had got was actually a really good one, and once the niggles are sorted out, it would be a stunner. So I persevered, then added a few little unnecessary upgrades such as a big screen infotainment system, remap, bucket seats, new tyres all round, and wheel spacers. And without realising, I was becoming a convert to the Land Rover life.
Yeah.
A few green laning trips, a quarry blast, and recently winning a show and shine category at a local club meet. I think there's no going back now. I'm even buying the magazines and listening to the podcasts. We've done it, Steve.
Hashtag influencers. See, we've done it.
He goes on to say, I also wanted to touch on the subject of car supermarkets. He used one in Northampton and had a terrible experience there. Although he says it was a long time ago, we were looking for a family car, something sporty-ish, but four or five seats. We thought we'd go along to have a look because they had hundreds of cars on site, and we thought we could browse and see what stuck out.
Do you know, so the reason he's brought the car supermarkets up is we discussed car supermarkets in a previous podcast, didn't we?
Yes.
The supermarket I went to that I did not like at all was in fact in Northamptonshire.
It could well be the same one, Steve.
I bet you it's the same one.
I read this and I was really shocked because I've never heard of this experience before. But
drove all the way to the Northamptonshire one to look at a Freelander 2.
Right.
That by the time I got there, wasn't even on site.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this now I'm stuck there.
It's very odd. He goes, we thought we'd go along to have a look because I have hundreds of cars and we assumed we could browse and see what stuck out to us. Apparently, that isn't how it works at these car supermarkets. He goes on to say, no, we got accosted by the salesman who wouldn't let us out of the office without taking some details. After hearing what we were looking for, he showed us an advert on their computer, not the actual car in question, of a single Honda Accord. I told him, no thanks, I've driven one, I don't like them, what else have you got? So we got passed to the sales manager, who went through the whole exercise again, and we got presented with another option, the same Honda Accord.
Wow.
I told him right there and then, you've got 1,000 cars parked outside, I'll choose what I want, not you, tell me what you'll offer me. And his reply was, we don't really operate like that. What a weird way of, like, they choose a car for you when they've got all of them sat outside.
The thing is like, now most people who just want a car are looking at how much it is a month. Do you know, in fact, I spoke to someone the other day who is quite friendly with somebody that sells cars.
Right.
And if you phone them up for, they do a lot of German cars, so BMW, Audi, the lot, the like. If you phone them up and say, I'm interested in that car, they then work out, firstly, before they say if it's available or not, whether you're going to finance the car or buy it cash.
Really?
So if you say I'm a cash buyer, the car is sold, not available.
Yeah, because they get a big kickback from the
finance. Because they make no money. Yeah. Because they're all competing, and these supermarkets are similar. They compete on price and algorithms and all of that good stuff. There's no money in the actual car. In fact, some of them, they sell them at a loss.
It's mad.
Because of they might have had a bit of bumper damage. Yeah. And then they make money on finance and all the gap insurance and all of that stuff. So, yeah, not great races, in my opinion.
Well, no, Darren certainly doesn't think so. And he said, well, in that case, you can stick it and I'll go somewhere else. And I've never come across such a bizarre way of buying a car. Well, I've never heard of such a bizarre way of buying a car, so I'll be avoiding car supermarkets like the plague.
You should go to one.
Just for the experience.
Just for the consumer advice.
There we go. And he's included a lovely picture of a Mini Cooper with a little trailer and the 90, which is, yeah, quite a nice red and...
Yeah, that 90's cool.
Very smart, nice. Isn't it? He's also got... Yeah, that's nice.
I don't know why the pictures... We printed this off, don't know why, but...
Yeah. We're not... You go doing the next one then, as I did that okay. Big long one. You can do that one. Sorry if this is a little bit disjointed. We're actually, you know, obviously...
We need to catch up on all of this.
Consummate professionals.
Okay, here is a good one. So this is from somebody called, where's his name?
Cole.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Cole Thompson. Hi, Martin. I hope you're doing well. My main reason for reaching out is for some subscription help. So apologies if I should have reached out to someone else. He basically signed up for a subscription at LRM Live, and all his details seemed correct, but he didn't get the magazine. There was a small error. And for those who signed up at Land Rover Monthly Live, do have had their magazines now.
Yes.
There was a delay, basically. Anyway, on an unrelated note, I wanted to quickly share how I got here. I've always loved 4x4s and Land Rovers since I was a child, but could never quite justify the risk or reward or the reliability. Being 30, the house, dog, and a reliable transport have always won over. I discovered LRM through the podcast at the beginning of the year, going through the back catalogue and becoming a regular listener, with the latest podcast becoming my Wednesday commute entertainment. This prompted me to convince my partner and dog to be dragged to LRM Live. Well, not a bad show to be dragged to be fair.
I wonder how much convincing the dog took. I wonder if he, like, bribed it with some, like, rodeos, like, treats or something.
Yeah, well, we had the dog show there.
Maybe it could have won that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've now sold my leased daily driver, and I'm on the hunt for an HSE Lux Freelander 2.
Oh, what a choice.
Preferably in Aintree Green, with a light interior. But they don't seem to pop up very often, so I might have to sacrifice the exterior colour. I probably wouldn't be in this position of finally getting to buy a Land Rover if it wasn't for the constant encouragement of you and Steve on the podcast.
I've already... Scary, isn't it?
I know. That's not a bad Freelander to have.
That's the best one.
I think the reason why they don't come up is because people hang
hold on to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the Aintree Green or the Loire Blues on the real late ones as well, or Buckingham Blue on the earlier ones. Oh,
yeah, really, really nice.
Beautiful.
I'm already trying to sow the seeds to my partner that we need, that we next need a series Land Rover to really complete the set, but she's not having any of it. All the best, Cole.
Yeah, she'll come round to it. They're quite easy to fall in love with, aren't they? Old Land Rover, classic Land Rover.
Yeah, they are. Difficult, really. We've said this before. If you get, like, say, a Series 3 or something like that, just go out for a couple of hours, a bimble around the country lanes on a summer's evening, nothing better.
No, I agree. Yeah, you're right.
Preferably 2.25 petrol, so you haven't got the diesel sound, and just enjoy the moment. And I think that you could create some nice moments, nice memories with
definitely.
That.
Definitely. Yeah.
Take a picnic. Nice and steady.
It's a break from the norm, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Speaks sitting in front of the telly, doesn't it?
Especially when you've got a Freelander 2 Lux, something like that, because that'd be a really nice thing to get hold of.
What a daily driver, though. You just find one. That's what you're saying. Yeah, it is basically, yeah. But as you rightly say, people who've got them, I think they're you know, keen to hold on to them, and I don't blame them.
So, yeah. So anyone that did sign up at LRM Live for a subscription, there was a small delay, was sorted out. So,
yeah, I had a few emails.
Yeah, apologies to everybody, but these admin errors sometimes.
Yeah.
It's anyway, always inputting people's data.
And hopefully you continue to enjoy the magazine.
Yeah.
Shall we have one last one and then we'll forge on with something else?
Yeah.
We've had a bit of, as I say, they've all stacked up, haven't they? So
they have. Never had so many emails.
You know your 4x4. You've chosen every upgrade, every bolt-on with purpose. So when it comes to tyres, chunkier, wider, more capable for the conditions, you want the perfect fit. Not just any tyre, your tyre. That's why you'll choose 4x4tyres.co.uk, the wheel and tyre specialists, trusted by Land Rover owners and serious off-roaders alike. Whether you're upsizing, overlanding, making your Defender look the part, or your Discovery turn heads, we'll guide you to the right set. With over 800 fitting locations across the UK, from online to on-road, we've got you covered. Browse by vehicle, wheel size or brand. 4x4tyres.co.uk. The right fit, the right place, the right price.
So, final listeners' correspondence of the episode from Mark McGillicuddy. He says, "Hi guys, listening to another fantastic episode and your chat has prompted me to ask this question. Was there a photo in an early Land Rover magazine that led to your choice of the favourite Land Rover? Of your favourite Land Rover? Mine was this image of a 1988 4x4 off-road action magazine. I've still got the magazine and it led to my fascination with the classic Range Rover. I've got an early sister to this red car, which is in the photo, a J-Reg X. YKR Reg. It's a very clean looking off-roader and I thought Martin might like the wheels." Well, you're absolutely right. I do love the wheels because they're white 8-spokes. He says, another FYI, the British Motor Heritage Certificate he's ordered says my classic was built on the 7th of January 1971 and was sent to the dealer Henley's of London when it was sold. Yeah, so really early car. And yeah, sold through London. I really need to swap the generator for an alternator and rebuild the carbs and fuel lines to cope with modern E5 fuel. Keep up the great podcast, Mark." Well, Mark, I completely agree with you. The Range Rover on the photo that you've sent is an absolute stunner. We were looking at it earlier, weren't we, on the computer?
Yeah, really lovely thing.
Roll cage, bucket seats, white 8-spokes with Firestone sats on. It looks ready to take on pretty much anything.
Looks like you'd want a toy of it.
Yeah, it's real, like, yeah, chunky off-roader, but also really, really tidy and very of its time. Is there a photo then that sort of influenced your favourite Land Rover?
Kind of. So my years and years ago, I've mentioned this on the podcast previously, but there was that AA yellow 90 in Utah for me with the Safari Guard thing. That for me showed me that the Americans know what
they're doing with Land Rovers. I was going to say something similar actually. The magazines I remember buying, LRO and LRM, and to be fair, Enthusiast and World, huge influence on when I started getting them when I was probably 11 or 12. And yeah, those, the Moab and like the, some of the events they held out in the States, they've got such an eye for putting together a cool Land Rover. Also though, I would say Land Rover World, Devon 4x4's Bobtail Range Rover on the cover, Malaysian Rainforest Challenge.
Unbelievable looking thing. Yeah, there's still videos on YouTube, actually, if you hunt that out. Devon 4x4 put on there on the YouTube. Really, really cool
that
thing.
That was an amazing cover and a brilliant
story. I
remember
that cover.
I can remember chunks of the feature. I read it that many times. I fell in love with that. Yeah, it's really, really neatly bobtailed.
Did you ever see it in the flesh?
I don't think I ever did, no.
Yeah, they used to bring it to the original Billing Aquadrome Land Rover show.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it interesting? So I feel like we should almost recreate a front cover of LRM in a future issue of what it was back in the day. Because we went through issue one, didn't we, on this podcast?
Yeah, we did. I think that's what's prompted email, Mark's email.
Yeah, I remember a V890 truck cab in Vauxhall Spectral Blue, nonetheless, in the cover of Land Rover World back in the very late 90s. That was awesome.
Mm.
That stuck in my mind. It looked, I think it had like probably chrome 8 spokes.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some fantastic Land Rovers of old.
As for influencing favourite Land Rovers, I don't think it's really had a direct influence in, because I've owned a lot of different models and I like a lot of different models, but, well, as we've just alluded to, there's certain features, certain elements, certain things that were included in those magazines of old that just remain in your brain forever because they were so cool.
It sort of fueled that passion when I was driving around in a Series 3 long wheelbase and I wanted a V890.
I'd love to build, like I mentioned previously, like my ultimate picture in my mind of what your ultimate Defender 90 would be. I'd love to do that at some point. And that would have a lot of inspiration taken from those earlier articles, probably.
Yeah, quite possibly. We need to dig out our old issues, so we'll pick one at random in a podcast's time or so.
Yeah, definitely.
We had issue one, didn't we?
Walked down memory lane, wasn't it? Issue one of LRM went down really well, so I think we'll have to do another couple.
Yeah,
we'll pick out some retro.
First 2 years worth out there in the stores.
Yeah.
Hidden.
Yeah, squirreled away.
Yeah, they are squirreled away.
In a safe place.
Everyone thinks we've got like a massive archive of all the magazines ever produced. It's like 337 of them now.
Yeah.
LRMs, that's
a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet there's people out there that have got the whole collection, though.
I suppose somebody did today that has.
Really?
Yeah. He was selling a Land Rovers. He rang up to list one of his classifiers. He goes, I've got every single copy of the mag and other Land Rovers. I said, I don't know where you store them all.
Wow.
He goes, yeah, but there's interesting articles in them. Imagine you think, oh, there's an interesting article, but you've got to go through so many to find it.
Can you still get... Oh, do you remember? It wasn't that long ago, was it? You could get the binders. You could bind each year of each magazine in, like, the special green binders you could get.
Yeah, I remember those days. Yeah, they don't do that now. People just... There's not that much call for it. Shame, really.
Yeah. Maybe it's part of the merch range. We could bring it back. We're going to start doing merch. I know we keep threatening it, but we're going to actually just do it soon because I'm bored of waiting. Got loads of ideas, loads of great ideas in my head.
Actually, email us at editorial@lrm.co.uk.
Yeah, if you want merch
ideas. No, merch ideas.
And yeah, I want
to listen to our audience.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. If you've got ideas, and I suppose, really, what do you want to see merch of? Do you want T-shirts? Do you want hoodies? Do you want hats? Do you want mugs? Because that's, you know, I've got some good ideas for designs.
It's really tricky. So we were in a marketing strategy meeting the other day. I didn't call it that. I just made it up. It was just a meeting. And because our demographic for typical our audience is so vast.
Yeah.
We could be talking to an 18-year-old, but we could be talking to... 68-year-old, and it's really tricky. So it's not one size fits all. So we essentially have to cater for And this is where it gets really, really tricky.
There's kind of a rabbit hole, really, merch, because you either go cheap and cheerful, so people don't mind spending 20 quid and they get something that will last a while, or do you really push the boat out and get really high quality stuff, which costs a lot more to produce and a lot more to, you know, you have to price it higher.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it is tricky.
It's a bit of a, yeah, it's like a whole different world. But we really want to get into it because I think we could do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, you'll know where you'll hear about it first, won't you?
Here.
Right here on the LRM podcast.
And or sign up to our email newsletter, because that's another way of communicating with the latest and greatest information.
Absolutely. It's very easy to do. Head to the website, landrovermonthly.co.uk, bash your email address in, and you'll get loads of really good, relevant stuff sent straight to your inbox. It isn't like usual junk mail nonsense. It's actually like stuff that you'll want to read, which makes it different to a lot of other newsletters.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. People think we're going to bombard you with adverts. Now, one of the things with email newsletters is most of the stuff we send is content-based.
Yeah,
it is. You will get a couple of adverts, but they tend to be from things that we know you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
That's how it works. We have to be supported commercially with advertising. But, for example, it might be some latest tyres. You're going to want that information anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, so, no, 100%.
Don't be frightened.
Keep an eye on the YouTube channel as well. We've actually been uploading to it, would you believe? Things are happening.
Things are happening.
Very exciting video going live very soon. In fact, no, it'll be live the Friday this goes out on your Defender. We've done a bit on your Defender recently. We've done a service. We've done anti-roll bars.
I like the fact that, yeah, the service was quite good, wasn't it? A, because I just filmed it and didn't get my hands dirty. Yeah. And you expertly drain the oil without getting much on you.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean... Yeah. Yeah, this is a bit of a, like I explained in the video, a bit of a deft move to get the oil, yeah, the sump bung out of the way without getting absolutely coated in old 5W30. But
I know something else we need to bring into the podcast feature.
What's that?
You know some of the comments you got on YouTube?
Oh, yes. How did I forget?
Right.
I think we'll kick this off next
week. Yeah, we'll kick it off next week. But to bring you up to speed, we love receiving comments.
Yeah.
And like anything... Mostly, it's positive.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean...
And let's be honest, we'll read out some of the positive comments, because yes. I think it's just as important, just like some of these lovely emails that we get to the podcast. But some of the comments, man, they make me laugh.
I enjoy getting the negative ones as much as the positive ones sometimes, because they're such a source of entertainment to me. I just...
Yeah.
Any feedback is great. And if you've got time to leave a comment,
negative.
Thank you, regardless of whether it's... Keep up the good work, boys. We love it. Or you could have done this differently. Or I can't believe you didn't paint that. I hate you.
Do you know, you're talking about that, right? The other day, I was wet and drying my heater matrix down, thinking about the comment that you got because you didn't paint yours at all. I was like, I'll show that YouTuber comment. Look at this. It's going to be the most immaculate paint job ever.
I'll make sure I tag him in.
This is how it should be done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not how it should be done. It's how I chose to do it and how you chose to do it.
Exactly.
But we do put ourselves out there, don't we? When you're on YouTube, you kind of feel like...
The thing is with YouTube, and I know like a lot of people... You've got to have a thick skin, but you've also got to kind of not care what other people say, because it's just like it's water under the bridge. At the end of the day, you're accountable for something like the magazine, which people have paid good money to receive, a lot of effort, there's a lot of integrity in the content, which is something I absolutely stand by, and it will never, ever diminish. YouTube... You know, we're newbies at YouTube. We're doing videos. We're having a laugh. We're videoing what we're doing anyway.
We're just extending what we do to show. Because people are asking, oh, can you show us this or can you show us that? We might just put it on YouTube.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's a secret way, right? Because I know my boss doesn't, or our boss, shall we say, doesn't listen to this. It's a secret way of us working on our Land Rovers and getting paid for it.
Wait, you'll listen to this one now.
I know you.
Get P45 slapped on your desk.
Better than P38.
Right, that's enough. No more Range Rover slander. Follow me on Instagram if you want to. Land Rover Martin with underscores in between.
And if you want to see the colour reveal
yes.
of my 90, because we're going to go and put the bulkhead on. in a couple of hours from now.
Yes.
Steve_Miller_automotive. And I'll stick it on Instagram tonight.
Colour
reveal.
And of course, follow Land Rover Monthly at Land Rover Monthly, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. We're nearly at 6,000 subscribers. We're smashing it.
Yeah.
And only half of those people wish I'd painted more things. As always, thank you ever so much for listening. If you wouldn't mind, I know we're asking a lot. I know, all right? We're asking a lot. Leave a little rating or a review on your preferred streaming platform. We would really enjoy that.
Yeah. Go for it.
Awesome. Right. Well, we'll see you next week then.
Bye for now.